In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, we're going to ponder the reality of the Transfiguration and its liturgical celebration on August 6th. There are other references to this transformed physicality of Jesus, and we'll touch on them as well. Notably, of course, the one in Philippians 3. But before we start, this metamorphosis, the Greek word for it, transfiguration, let's just reflect a moment on the tradition. And then we'll start looking at the text, and then wind up going through the three synoptic readings. Still can't make up my mind whether I want to just do each one or whether I just want to run through this way. But I hope the Holy Spirit will help us by the time I have to figure that out. As you know, this incident is recorded by all three synoptics. It's in Matthew 17, Mark 9, and Luke 9. And there are important differences, but nothing enormous in the way that they record and express this mystery. What is the heart of it? That the deity can transform the humanity, not just in Jesus, but in us. We have this text in Philippians, for instance, where it says, our citizenship is in heaven. My passport reads heaven. That's where I'm going. That's where I belong. Okay? And from heaven, we also await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is what he says. He will change our lowly body by the power that enables him also to bring all things into subjection to himself, so that the divine power which transformed Jesus at his resurrection is the same power that will transform us for all eternity. And that's the heart of the mystery of the Transfiguration. It's an anticipation. And our lives are meant to experience that anticipation. There's a mystical tradition more tightly connected with the Transfiguration in the East than in the West, but it's the same tradition. The Transfiguration is the patron feast of every experience of God we have in this life. It's meant to prepare us to see the Trinity, to worship, and to rejoice in the transformed humanity of Jesus Christ. It's especially in the East, this is the treatise on the Transfiguration is, as it were, the treatise on the mystical life. And it begins, as Paul does here, we're awaiting that. We will be totally transformed, even our bodies. And that is the mystery of the Transfiguration. In the West, it's always on August 6th. The readings for the first two readings are identical. And then we have the three different synoptic accounts. So, in effect, we have three slightly different celebrations of this feast of the Transfiguration. The first two are identical. And the third one, the cycle A, cycle B, cycle C, that is Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We're going to try to do some work there to show those differences. But the most important thing is to grasp the reason why it is in the scriptures and in the liturgy. Why? To show us where we're going. Yes, it's to reveal the beauty, the light, the attractiveness, the joy of Jesus. But it's also to say, that's where you belong. You're going to be there for eternity if you will listen to Jesus, if you will follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit, try to live a life of holiness, and learning to repent for your sins, be brought to that point where even in this life you see the radiance on the face of Christ. This is not meant to be sort of a fairy tale or an abstruse thing for people who subscribe to Mystics Junior or something. No, this is a normal part of maturing in our own Christian life, is to see who Jesus is and to see his face and to know, see that smile on his face. Sometimes in these terms, in the West, we have another way of describing John of the Cross, Teresa of Avila, Catherine of Siena, and then some of our modern, like Edith Stein. In the West, in the East rather, it's more expressed in biblical terminology. For instance, when someone begins this life, they have to confront their sin. And they have to realize that only God can free them from it. And it's a difficult time. It's, it's supported by the grace of God, by the love of the brethren, and by those moments when it's lifted. But we have to begin a metamorphosis, a transformation, transfiguration in this life. And there are moments when this is purposely given to us to encourage us. There is a moment, it's described in the Eastern Church, but it's not foreign to Western people who pray. It is to see the smile on the face of Christ. Something changes when that happens. Usually it happens after a long period of facing our sin, which is very painful. You know, if we're just going to confession and hoping we're getting forgiven, but if we start to really search for Jesus, we're going to confront our darkness. And we're going to have to live through it so that the announcement that this first stage is over is when someone sees the smile on the face of Christ Jesus. Sees him. Sometimes the early monks see the icon smile. Sometimes it's just an interior experience. But it's the beginning of understanding the transfiguration. Because who is Jesus? He is the Word of God incarnate. His body bears the infinite Word of God. His body is held in existence by the infinite Word of God. The very depth of his personality is the infinite Word of God. Is it any surprising that his body would be radiant? That he can sometimes take away the veil and let people see that? This is the tradition, as I say, particularly in the hesychast tradition of the East, but it's not uncommon in other terms to read people who are trying to serve the Lord and have a serious life of prayer to speak this way about seeing the face of Jesus and seeing the smile. It usually comes after as marking the end of a long period when we have to face our sin and darkness and realize how much we depend on the mercy of God. and that this is a very painful time. But the end of this particular stage in growing in our resemblance to Jesus is this seeing of his smile. See the smile on the face of Christ Jesus. As I say, it's described, it's spoken about in the East, but it's not a uniquely Eastern spiritual experience. It happens to people in the West some way or other, sometimes exactly that all of a sudden the face of Jesus, which has been confronting our sin and helping us realize how abject we are, how absolutely in need of mercy, how incapable we are, when it can be repeated, this thing. John of the Cross says, for instance, that the heart, the center, the core of the dark night of the spirit is an heroic act of hope. When we've given up totally on ourselves and throw ourselves on the mercy of Jesus Christ, the infinite, eternal Word of God incarnate, and we're beckoned there by his smile. So, the Feast of the Transfiguration is this place in the history of Christian spirituality, more accented in the East than in the West, but not absent from the West. And so, what we're going to be looking at are these texts that speak about our future, speak first of our own future, and then first in priority, not in time, perhaps. And then of this beckoning, this knowing Jesus and seeing his smile. It's a radiant, glorious smile. And it changes your life forever. Even if you start sinning again, you can't get away from it. You know the love that Jesus has for you. And you see it radiant on his face. And you change. And from that moment on, the fight against sin takes on a whole other dimension, where we desire to be free from sin. We're willing to work at it. Up to this point, we've been trying not to sin and kind of semi-compromise, until after a certain amount of time in this purgatorium, we're finally ready to be encouraged by this smile of Jesus that we don't take for granted, but that changes us. Now that is part of this grace and this mystery of the Transfiguration. And it's very important, and we're going to look at it again as we go through these texts. But for now, we'll stop there and start looking at the readings.